What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast covering your favorite team in the Bay Area. JD still playing with bricks at Legoland, just plugging away.
Driving back today.
Oh, he's driving back today. He's sad. Sad, JD. It's all bricked out.
His children. Are sore. Children.
How long is the drive to Legoland?
About 5 or 6 hours.
Oh, God, your kids are going to drive you insane.
No, iPads, dude.
Oh, true, true, true. Paw Patrol to the rescue. Speaking of kids, today we are jumping back into another Sharks draft class. We are going to, similar to the 2020 class where we went through, talked about their season and where they're going to be next year, we are going to do that with the 2021 draft class. Less exciting than the 2020 class, but the children are our future. So, yeah, kids, hockey.
You're Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me, as always, is co-host JD, the Springfield A&M to my Gudger College. Yes.
Springfield U. Homer's like, I hate Springfield University. You went there.
Oh, you hate Springfield A&M.
I hate them so much.
I just watched that episode. Gudger College is an amazingly fake college name. Sorry, we all didn't go to Gudger College.
I'm gonna go to Bovine University.
We call this the killing floor. Timmy walks out, he's like all white. Bovine University is really funny. Why does my worm sound like a lamb? Lisa the Vegetarian, good episode. Really weird Paul McCartney cameo. Really funny Homer and Bart episode. I love when he says, another Whopper for the copper. He wings it at him.
What's the extra B for? That was a typo.
BYOBB. What's the extra B for? It's BYOB. What's that extra B for? That's typo. Homer put a lot of thought into that, all because Ned had a family reunion. And he was mad that he didn't get an invite to the Flanders. Senor Diddly Ding. This is Senor Flanders, or Jose Flanders. He's like, hi, Diddly Ding Dong Diaz, Senor. Yeah. It kills me every single time. Jose Flanders. Anyway, no Jose Flanders here. We are going to go through the Sharky Boys picks from 2021. A little fun fact before we get started here. In 2013, San Jose made 7 choices. Mirko Mueller was their round one number 18 pick. He played 185 games. So technically, he doesn't count by like the nerd's definition of an NHLer at 200 games. Also, he just wasn't very good for those 185.
That too.
The next 6 guys are Gabriel Boudreau, Frederick Bergvik, Michael Brodzinski, Gage Ausmus, Jake Jackson, and Emil Galimov. If you've never heard any of them, it's because not a single one of those guys played an NHL game. Goose eggs.
Yes.
The 2013 draft class is a waste. Absolutely outrageous. But anyway, we're not here to talk about those bums. I can't believe Logan Couture and Nick Bonino were drafted in the same year.
One of them seems 1,000 years older than the other.
Logan Couture has actually played more games than Nick Bonino.
I know, but it's like, I think it's because of the bald head. That's why.
Anyway, 2021, we're going to jump right into it, and we're just going to go down the list from round one, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. The Troy McClure set is so good. They finally, Dr. Zayas is just a great song. Could I play the piano? Well, I couldn't before.
That like little riff.
Yeah, and they finally made a monkey out of me. Is oh my god, it was Earth all along. Wait, he says, oh my god, just kills me. Homer, I love the theater. Anyway, first person up. E5, William Eklund. And you guys never forget, when we were joking around, when people were joking around and saying, is William Eklund coming back to the Sharks? What's he doing? And we tweeted out that he was drinking hot chocolate in a cabin in northern Sweden. That was actually a scoop, and it was real. And we have sources very close to William Eklund that confirmed that that was true. We weren't joking.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
All right. We did a whole profile on William Eklund's season, but
spent too much time here. But we will, because we like to jerk it.
We love to talk about William Eklund. So William Eklund played. So the way we're doing this, if you're new to how we do this, we look at where they spent the most amount of time or games played, and how they performed in that season. Then we'll kind of look at their projections and where we expect them to be playing next year. Spoiler, William Eklund will be on the Sharks. And if not, Kyle and I will personally riot to whoever's in charge. We will go full Grandpa Simpson, hammering out letters on typewriters to whoever the GM is at the time, complaining about William Eklund not playing on the Sharks. So don't tempt us. But William Eklund, so he played 29 games with Drew Gardens. One goal, famously, 13 assists, 14 points, for 0.48 points per game. Not his best season. We've discussed this.
We have many episodes.
Mikhailon. So also in comparison, we did this at the halfway point. He had played 7 games, had 3 assists at a 0.43. So he did bump that points per game up just a touch. If we look at his, so Byron Bader has his kind of development, still sees Eklund as an 86% NHLer and 32% to be a star producer at 0.7 career points per game. Again, this is all based on points. So since he didn't score a lot of points this year on a very, very bad SHL team, that's why his star probability went down a tad bit. I am not worried at all with Eklund's development. I think getting him back in San Jose is going to do wonders. And then pairing him with Bortolo or Hurdle or whomever you prefer, I'm not worried at all about Eklund. He's going to be just fine. So, yeah.
Are you not going to read his full comps? They're funny.
No, you want to read? Sorry. Eric Staal, Dave Gagner, Michael Grenland, Jeff Friesen, which you would love, and Jesper Bokvist.
Who's that? Oh, Jesper Bokvist.
Bokvist. There you go.
I mean, Eric Staal is pretty good. Yep. So is Dave Gagner, actually. Dave Gagner, is he the Kings guy or the Flyers guy? One of the two. Anyway, Dave Gagner was good.
Yeah.
No, I'd be really sad if William Eklund turned out to be Jeff Friesen, of all people. Not particularly fond of that comp, even though I do love Jeff Friesen. Still want my throwback Jeff Friesen jersey. But I'm also not. We don't need to spend much time on William Eklund. We have literally like a 40-minute episode with Mikhail Holm. You can find it. You can go talk to
him. We've talked hours upon hours. And we'll spend hours more this summer talking about William Eklund. And yes.
Yeah, so we're just going to call the William Eklund. William Eklund hotline. Things that rhyme with William. Trillium.
Billium.
Quintrillion. Quadrillion. Billion. And so on down the line. All right. Next person. Drafted. Actually,
before we do that, let's hawk some product.
Awesome shit.
Yep.
Is it me? Am I hawking?
It's you.
Oh, cars, baby. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to sell my car right now. If anybody needs a 2017 Honda Accord in very good shape. With 100,000 kilometers on it, silver sedan, Honda Accord Sport, actually 2 sets of tires, both winter and low profile summers, 21,000 Canadian doll hairs. It's just practically a steal in the States. But if you're not trying to sell your car and you need parts, you don't want to go to the store, got to walk in there, find a little nerdlinger behind the computer. He's gonna be like, what kind of car do you have? And you got to be like, Honda Accord Sport. And he's like, okay, how many doors? 4. How many blah, 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 blah. And then you got to figure it out, or you got to go to that stupid book to look for things. You could just do this all from your pocket computer on your phone, saving time and money by going to rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership when you can just do it and go to rockauto.com? They have everything. Carpets, windshield wipers, lights, pumps, belts, fuses, all sorts of stuff. Really just check it out and see what they need. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer because Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers like JD for over 20 years. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Behind the scenes, we call it Rock Hard Auto. But
one day. All right.
One day. Coming up next, Benjamin Gojo, drafted 81st overall in round 3, plays for the Sarnia Sting.
Yes, the goat row. Ben Gaudreau, this season, he played 44 games. Yeah. 891 save percentage, 371 goals against, 2 shutouts. The halfway point of the season, he had only played 13 games with the 906, 315 goals against, and 1 shutout. That Sarnia team was not very good, and he got shelled a lot. And I know he did deal with some injuries kind of in the middle to back half of the season as well. But he was lights out in the playoffs. Had a 924 save percentage, faced like 200 shots in 6 games.
I think it was like 231 shots.
210 shots, and yeah, if I remember my tweet, and it was like 100, it was like 80 shots more than his counterpart goaltender in the same 6 games or whatever. So
that 924 is sparkling. I think this was an excellent choice. They've got to be happy with the way he's trending.
Yeah, and again, goalies are, because, you know, I mean, we know how much it depends on who's in front of you. I think Gaudreau, he's in like some, you see the flashes and you just his, his ability to get from side to side, make those highlight reels, but also just making the easy saves as well. Like he's very technically sound as well. So I think he's going to, very exciting prospect still for the Sharks in the goal, the pipeline, his fantasy stuff. So again, with him, it's weird because he didn't have his draft season had 0 games because the OHL just didn't play that year. So he's 19% NHL probability. It's tougher with goalies, kind of how they project again. So his comps,
Patrick Laine. Batshit insane. How do you go from Patrick Laine to Patrick Roy?
I don't know, man. But Alexander Gergiev, Ontario Nemaki, David Abishnik. Abisher. Thank you.
He was Patrick Roy's backup for the longest time, which is hilarious. I can take it from here. Get a drink of water.
Go ahead.
You're struggling through Benjamin Gaudreau. You're like, or have a Coke. Either one. I don't know how you get full comps of Laine, Nidamaki, Abisher, Gorgiev, and then also Patrick Roy. Don't know how that works. But anyway, don't really think there's much to be worried about Benjamin Gaudreau. He's going to be back with the Sting next year. The goalies, San Jose has a bunch of goalies. They have 3 on their NHL team, but then they also have Sachenko,
Straussman,
Iman, and possibly Big Chungus Magnus Crona.
I think he's going back to school.
I think he is too.
The way I kind of pictured it is it's probably going to be whoever's in the NHL. They don't forget Alex Stalock. God rest his soul.
He's a free agent, right?
He is a free agent, but
okay, good. Get out of here.
He will not be back. But you're going to have some sort of Straussman, Sachenko, Iman's combo.
Chimera.
Ménage à trois. And then your next guys are going to be your Ben Gaudreau and Cronus Magna. Or Magnus.
Magnus Crona.
Yes.
Cronus Magna is a cool name, though.
That's good too. So Cronus, comma Magna, those are going to be your kind of next guys you're going to take over. So,
they could draft a goalie this year. I doubt it, but
That'd be an interesting. We'll dig into that. But I feel like their pipeline is way more robust than it was 2 years ago. I think
it's robust though, in like that there's actual humans, but like, what are the ceilings of Amon, Sachenko, Mann? Like, Straussman was like a 4-year Michigan guy who was fine, but like,
He's probably like an NHL backup type of guy, but yeah, like
maybe, but like I don't. There's no top shelf goalie prospects.
Or you're like
as much as we like Gaudreau, I don't think you can say that he's like a for sure starter in the NHL yet. Like he's still developing.
No, he's still developing, but I mean, he was considered, you know, maybe the second or third goalie prospect in that draft class, and
Definitely third because Wahlstedt and Kosa were both existed.
Yeah, but you know, if he had played his actual draft year,
I don't think Gaudreau goes from the third round to possibly first overall with Wahlstedt, and Kosa went like 12th.
That was a dumb pick for Kosa.
Well, anyway. I mean, yes, but it's fine to be the third best goalie in the draft class, and I think they did fine. It's not like they have Kosa or Wahlstedt or Askarov or Dostal or Knight or Wolf or something. They don't have an elite goalie prospect. The best one is Gaudreau, who we're fine with, but like, they're still that upper tier goalie, but which is fine. Who knows? Ben Gaudreau might go back and put up a 925 in the OHL next year and be absolutely amazing. On a
better team or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have and please don't ask us if the Sting are going to be better next year. Neither of us know.
Sure, they're going to be better.
Moving along. Gannon Larocque drafted 103rd overall in the fourth round, a shocker on draft day because nobody knew who he was.
We talked to guys who, you know, cover, and they're like, yeah, we didn't watch any Victoria Royals because they were bad. Yeah, they were bad, but the team's improved, and Gannon Larocque has been a reason why that team has improved. He's been their top defenseman. He won the WHL, whatever their division. He was the top defenseman in their division. Played 63 games, 10 goals, 42 assists for 52 points and a 0.83 points per game. Looking at the midway point, so he had played, or when we first did it, he played 20 games, had 3 goals, 13 assists for a 0.8. So he was pretty consistent with them all year long. Played with a coup at the end of the season and didn't look out of sorts at all on that team, you know, especially when he's playing guys who are literally twice his age. He's a big boy. He can move. I think he said that he wanted to work on his offense, and he worked on his offense this season. So we're definitely, we're planning to have him on this summer. So we'll ask him what the thing he's going to work on next. I would assume it's probably going to be his transition game and starting that transition game. Cause that was the kind of the thing I noticed. He deferred with in the Barracuda, which is fine. Again, he's 18 and was playing with grown ass men, but, this might be the kind of diamond in the rough pick that the Sharks drafted in the fourth round. And then, you know, he could play 10, 12 years with the Sharks, and you're just looking at a solid second pair defenseman who just does it all type of thing for the Sharks down the line. So
Going back to Victoria.
He's going back to Victoria again. We can't stress this enough. He's 18. He doesn't turn 19 until August. Like, he barely makes the cut for the draft. So
the thing too is that he really needs to have another good season. Like, if he just has one randomly good season, because like everything converges, it's not really a prospect does make. So he needs to continue to improve and get better. Otherwise, the Sharks just have a guy who had one random good junior season, which happens all the time.
Yep. His star probability remained flat at 3%. NHL probability jumped from 21 to 38%. So for defenseman, it's 0.45 career points per game as his comps: Mike Riley, Madison Bowie, Tobias Bourne, Sammy Ratnan, Nikita Zadorov. So Gannon Larocque, though, he is, looking like he might be a nice
pleasant find surprise so far.
Yeah.
That's really all you can say. Like, he was drafted out of nowhere, but they wanted defensemen that were smart and could skate, and that's what they got, and hopefully the other things come along, and so far their hunch was right. that's all you can say.
He's a big boy. All he cares about is playing hockey. And
it's true. We talked to him. Literally all he cares about
is playing hockey. Yep.
But he's got to keep improving. You can't just have one good random junior season. You gotta have another good season. If he has another good season next year, then he's definitely going to be with the CUDA after that. And he's on his way.
Yep. So
moving along.
This one's fun.
To Before we go there.
Oh yeah, we should probably take a break.
A Kit Kat?
Talk some stuff. Yeah. Let us talk about our good friends over at Built Bar, because talking about all these prospects, I don't know about you, but they makes me hungry. So just thinking about all this, how awesome the Sharks are going to be one day. I'm very hungry. With summer coming, and you want to make sure you've got plenty of food when you're on the go, Built Bar is the perfect snack to take with you on your family vacation. Throw them in your bags and your kids' backpacks. Make sure everyone has a bar so you're fueled for your summertime adventures. And if you don't know what type of flavor to get, don't worry. They've got you covered. You can get a mix box. It comes with 12 different flavors of bars and puffs. You know what the puffs are? You haven't tried them yet? They are the first ever protein-infused marshmallows covered in 100% chocolate. They come in amazing flavors like banana cream pie. And you guys know we are a pro cream pie podcast. They have churro. Who doesn't like the taste of churro? And only 140 calories. So sign me up. Go check out at built.com. All your favorites, banana cream pie, raspberry, double chocolate. They're all delicious. And they have new flavors coming out all the time. So when you visit built.com, use the promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. Again, use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Tobias.
I just want to yell Tobias. Anyway, moving on. Number 121, fourth round, Ethan Cardwell.
So Mr. Cardwell was an overager when they drafted him. So
yeah, he's actually eligible for the 2021 draft. No, 2020 draft.
Yep. But yeah, he had a little bit of a slow start, but really picked it up in the second half of the season. He played 49 games. He had a massive, like a 15-game suspension for...
breaking some dude's leg.
Yeah, he basically just ended a man. 23 goals, 35 assists, 58 points for a 1.18 points per game. We did our last check-in. He had at 18 games played, 4 goals, 12 assists for 16 points and a .89. So he really turned it on in the second half of the season and became a consistent scoring threat for the Barry Colts. Kind of a quiet, I think he had a couple goals in the playoffs for them, but you do like to see that kind of that scoring from him. So he can score. Definitely, like, he's kind of a bit of a shot and definitely not a Gushin, but he can also score in the dirty areas. Like, he's one of those type of guys where he can kind of do a little bit of everything with his scoring. So his star probability, so he, this is his technically his D plus two season, since he didn't, and then he also lost the season with the OHL not playing a year, so his development probably a little bit behind where it should be because he just literally lost an entire season, but it's good to see him kind of picking it up and playing well the second half of the season. 8%, and then a 3% star probability producer. He's at an 18% NHL probability, so that's playing 200 plus games in the NHL. His comps, Chris Drury, Johan Larsson, Adam Cracknell, Nick Dowd, and Matthew Barnaby. Those are terrible, but he will be on the CUDA next year.
By virtue of him not being able to go back.
Yeah. So, yeah, he can't go back. But he'll be on the CUDA next year with those guys. So I'll be interested to see how he does playing with, like, Ko and you know, all
Gushin the... Gushin and Raska and Hobgavex and the Lord and...
Yeah. He's also a winger. I don't know why they have him as a center, but he's definitely a winger, like, yeah, type of thing. So, yeah, it'll be. I want to see him with kind of some more talent around him and how he does with these guys. So, but yeah, he's a guy to keep an eye on. I don't think he makes the Sharks next year, but he could be one of those guys who maybe a year from now where he gets called up at some point and gets some games in.
Yeah, I think realistically he's in the CUDA for a few years here.
Yep.
And then just keeps, because he's got to improve off that back half of the OHL season and keep moving the wheel forward, because like now we're getting to around 4, 5, 6, 7 where your development really has to go forward in order for you to make the team, and it gets harder the longer we get into this. So he's the only other guy that'll be playing pro next year. Everybody else will be going back. So moving right along.
Yes.
Round five, number 135, Artem Guriev.
So, Mr. Guriev, he missed a big chunk of this season with an injury when we last did the check-in. He had four games played. I think he had wrist, if I remember correctly. He had,
was it wrist surgery or something?
Wrist surgery, if I recall correctly. So, he played 37 games, had one goal, 11 assists, 12 points for a nice 0.32 points per game. Again, it's, I think for him, with injuries kind of derail the beginning of his season, so it was probably a little bit hard for him to get going. I don't think he's gonna be one of those guys he lights up. So I don't really have too much on him, to be honest. I think he's gonna need some more seasoning. I want to see next year how he does, maybe coming in healthy. I know the Petes were a solid team, you know, but they're not like a world beaters or anything like that. So yeah. 1% star probability, 7% NHLer.
We're going to move quickly through these last few guys.
Yeah. So.
Also insane that his full comps are John Erskine, don't know who that is, then Sergei Gonchar, who's going to the Hall of Fame, and then Mike Wilson, Nate Garen, and Alex Henry, three dudes I've never heard of in my entire life. Don't know how Sergei Gonchar gets in there, but if he turns out to be Sergei Gonchar, holy hell.
Douglas
Jr. deserves $20 million a day. That would be insane. He's going back to the Petes. These last couple guys really were not much to say other than that they're going back to their league.
Yep. So
next guy, 156, fifth round from the London Knights. Max McHugh.
Max McHugh. So McHugh, he
what a picture kind of choice, JD.
It is. It's a good picture. So 64 games played, 9 goals, 26 assists, 35 points, and a 0.55 points per game. I believe he also had a hat trick in the playoffs as the London Knights lost in the game 7 in the first round. Halfway point of the first check-in, we did 22 games played, 6 goals, 10 assists, 16 points.
So he declined.
Declined a little bit there too. He was down.
He scored 3 goals in 30 games compared to 6 in like 22.
Yeah. So. Ugh. Yep. He did kind of, I know he was bouncing around on like that third and fourth line, but, you know, we're him and Gil Martin, who we'll talk about here in a minute, they're going to have their chance to shine next year, especially with that kind of top line of the London Knights, moving on, where I think next year is going to be a big year for them to be able to kind of, really kind of take control and have some more opportunity, because and the London Knights, they know how to develop guys. I mean, they just pump out players all the time. So star probability 0%, NHL probability 8%. Cool comps: Travis Boyd, Christopher N, Paul Gasted, Lucas Sadok, and Jack Adams. So sad luck. Anyway,
Jack Adams.
Jack Adams. Yes.
Oh my god. Paul Gostad was like serviceable for Buffalo for a while, but it's not like he's like lighting the world on fire.
I think though, with like I said, with him and Gil Martin, they're gonna have their chance next year with that top line of London. They're all those guys are all gonna be playing in the AHL and stuff like that. Yeah. So.
You're really just taking swings at these guys. Next guy, sixth round, 167th overall, Liam Gilmartin, who played with Max McHugh.
Yes. Gilmartin, he was on the second line a lot, so with them. So he got a little bit more run. 55 games, 16 goals, 18 assists, 34 points, had a 0.62 points per game when we checked in. First time, 19 games played. 5 goals, 5 assists, 10 points, so 0.53. So he definitely kind of bumped that up a little bit as the season went on. And then his stuff, 2% star probability, 11% NHLer probability. Comps, Brandon McMillan, Troy Terry, who is still a rookie but has also played 5 years at the same time for the Ducks, Andres Bjork, David Moss, and Chris Foucault.
I've never heard of Chris Foucault.
No, me neither.
To be fair, I've never also heard of Brandon McMillan. But anyway, they're just taking swings on these guys. I kind of like the Gilmartin pick. I think there could be something there. Like, there's a little nugget, like a lot more than McHugh, Guriev, the next guy. It'd be interesting to see how Gilmartin does next year. But, I mean, these guys aren't, like, really lighting the world on fire.
Yep.
Sixth round, 177th overall, Theo Jakobsen.
All right, so our boy Theo. So
looks
he
like
started
he's gonna eat somebody's soul in this photo.
Yeah, he has great hair too. I couldn't find an updated picture with his great hair, but he started the season in the SHL. So his the beginning of his season when it was really poor. Then he jumped back down to the under 20 league, and he really lit it up down there. So I think he was kind of in that tweener status, where he's not quite good enough to be playing meaningful minutes, so they sent him down to let him play on the J20 the J20 team. So instead of playing with Mondo Hockey and the Hockey Allsvenskan, so we're going to look at his kind of back half of this season here. So I kind of broke my own rule and wanted to look at the back half of the season. So back half, he played 24 games, had 18 goals, 14 assists, and a 1.33 points per game. Again, with his SHL time, he played 23 games.
Well, Modo only played – he didn't play in the SHL. Modo actually was relegated to the Hockey Allsvenskan, which is surprising.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you for that correction. But anyway, so yes, he had – during that time, he had 23 games, two goals, one assist, 3 points, and a 0.13. And I think he was like a fourth liner slash healthy scratch type of guy. But yeah, when he went back, got bumped down, lit it on fire. So – next year, he definitely needs to be playing like
Allsvenskan
the whole time and try to really stick there for him to have a chance to do.
Yeah, going to be a longer tail with some of these European guys where you might not see him till he's like 22 or 23 or something like that, where he's played 4 or 5 years pro already.
Yep.
And hopefully you can obviously if Modo doesn't get promoted to the SHL, then he's stuck in the Allsvenskan, but you definitely, like you said, you want to see him be in the Allsvenskan all next year and play well.
Yep. 6% star probability, which is pretty high for a sixth round pick here type of, you know, late 37% NHL probability, comps, Derek Grant, David Krejci, Derek Stepan, Mike Amato, and Andre Atheson. So who's fast?
Athanasio?
Yeah.
He's just very fast. David Krejci is like legitimately like Hall of very good. And Derek Stepan was good for a while there too.
So
Derek Grant sucks.
Yeah, he might be one of those guys who stews over in Switzerland for a couple of, you know, like you said, for a couple of years, and then he comes over and kind of,
yeah, that's what you hope for. It's looking like a pretty sneaky good pick, judging by his J20 numbers this year.
Yeah.
So it's got to be pretty happy with what's going on there.
Next year is
just keep improving and see what we end up with. And finally, the last guy, seventh round, 199th overall, Yevgeny Kashnikov.
Yes, Kashnikov plays for the Gatineau Olympiacs. That was my terrible French, and the QM JHL. 62 games played. Actually, I need to. That might be a little off because they were still playing when I made these graphics. Because the Quebec,
Quebec does their own thing.
They do their own thing. So when I made the graphics, 62 games played, 13 goals, 19 assists, 32 points. He was like their third pair defenseman, and he had 0.52 points per game. Again, the Q definitely not known for their stout defense, but
no, he actually ended up with that's right. That's what he finished the season with.
Okay, so when we checked on the last 24 games, played 6 goals, 9 assists, 15 points at a 0.63. So he did kind of dip a little bit in the points per game. But again, he's like their third pair defenseman. If your third pair defenseman is putting up a half a point a game, your team's probably really good. So, points. So his points are going to favor him, you know, because he's going to put up a bunch of points in the queue. But 3% star probability, 34% NHLer. He's a big boy, 6'4", 198. So you know how much coaches love size because you can't teach size. Also born on Christmas, good for him. Comps, Robert Hag, Andrew Peak, Jeff Schultz, Bruno Gervais, and good friend Mirko Mueller.
Ah, nice to see you. Mirko Mueller has one of the greatest tweets of all time where his sister was on the Swiss national team and he was like, yeah, well, she's better than me or something like that.
Yeah.
So funny. Also, I would like to point out that Gatineau has a guy on their team drafted by Coyotes named Mannix Landry.
That's name. Amazing. So
34% NHL probability is quite high for a guy that was drafted 199th overall.
Yeah, I think it's because he's a big Russian boy and he puts up a ton of points and
a lot of points.
Yes. So
I think the Sharks are probably happy with Eklund, Gaudreau, Larocque.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably happy on Cardwell, but he's older, so you want to see him continue. And then
Gurriev, McHugh, a little bit shorter. Yeah.
Yeah. Gurriev, McHugh is whatever. It's a tale of three drafts. The first three picks, loving them. Middle three picks, probably not. Last three picks, loving what they're doing for you when you drafted them 167, 177, and 199. Yeah.
But yeah, and even like I said with the London Knight guys, the way they develop there, like they just pump out people and they have a plan, and that, you know, like those guys. It's not like they're just, you know, when they have to kind of like work their way up and go through the development and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Gilmartin McHugh, you know, if one of those guys pops next season with some bigger numbers. But you would like to see that happen this season. But again, there's the guy like Strangers and those guys are putting up like 100 points each for the London Knights. So
Wyatt Johnson on that team? I think he led the.
I think he's on the Flint Firebirds.
Flint,
yeah.
Really?
Interesting. I think so, if I remember correctly. So, no, they have Evangelista from the Preds for London Knights.
You're close with the Flint Firebirds. He's on the Windsor Spitfires.
Okay, close.
Same, but different.
They're all the same.
They're all the same. So, obviously, too early to really make like big sweeping generalizations about the 2021 draft class, but that's where they are. If you are interested in asking us about any of them, please do on the internet. Locked On Sharks at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Locked On Sharks at YouTube. Locked On Sharks at gmail.com.
Close to 800. Email.
Getting close to 800. Push us over the edge. And then 200 more people. Where's those bot farms at?
I know, please.
We cheer for a Silicon Valley team. Come on, bot farms.
We don't ask for much in this world.
We don't. Amazon, Spotify, Apple, Locked On Sharks. JD, returning from Legoland. Hungover, drunk on Lego Rage at my fry hole.
Kyle, not just drunk.
Just drunk.
Just drunk. At Kyle Demetrius. Thank you guys for making us your first San Jose Sharks listen. Go check out one of the other Locked On shows, like the Locked On NHL, as the playoffs go on. I can't believe that thing happened last night in the playoffs that everyone's talking about.
Wow.
Wow. I am shocked and or appalled, whichever is the appropriate response. Warfield games were played last night. I'm shocked and appalled that there was no games last night. What are we doing here? So, or go check out any other amazing podcasts on the Locked On Network, such as
Locked On Jaguars.
Bye, friends.
It's not a Jaguar. It's a Jaguar.
Jaguar.